But in the meantime, let's talk to our next guest that we talk to every Monday to analyze either a victory or a defeat. In this case, a defeat that now puts the Eagles in a situation where to win 10 games, they've got to go 8-3 the rest of the way. His name is Ron Jaworski. He's brought to us by Bradford Water, White Water Heaters, built to be the best. All right, Jaws, things just aren't the same, and I'm trying to figure out from your viewpoint, why not?
Well, now we know what a Super Bowl hangover looks like, Mike.
Yes, we do.
No, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, for months, everyone has talked about it. Now we see what it looks like. And it's we could talk about it all we want. We could say everything, you know, the coaches, the players could say everything they want in the off season. But until you get on the field, you just don't know how teams will respond. And clearly, this team has not been focused. And you know what? We could all understand why. You know, you begin to read your press clippings how great you are. Everyone's writing a book, everyone's doing a movie, everyone's focusing on themselves, and all of a sudden you forget the reason why the team got to where it is, and that's with a team concept.
All right, now the season is, they're 2-3. It's a pretty representative sample of the season, 2-3, and you see what they're up against now and the upcoming schedule. Is this a team that's going to now struggle to make the playoffs?
I believe on what I have seen, I still think it's a playoff team, but it is going to be an uphill battle. And I'll say it for this reason. You know, I played for head coaches in my playing days that won close to 1,000 games. When you look at Don Shula, Dick Vermeil, Chuck Knox, Marty Schottenheimer, those guys I played for, so they have a pretty good resume. And I could still remember all those speeches that I heard from those coaches that resonated very well. And one point that always stood out to me, we've got to beat the teams we're better than. And just think about that. We've got to beat the teams we are better than. Look at this Eagles schedule through 5 games. The Atlanta Falcons, 1-4. Tampa Bay, 2-2. The Colts, 1-4. The Titans, the only winning team at 3-2. The Vikings at 2-2-1. The Eagles have played teams with a cumulative one-loss record of 9-14-1. These are the teams you have to feast on and beat up on, and it just doesn't work that way. And that's what worries me about moving forward now, as you're saying, you got to win 8 of the next 11 just to win 10 games. It's hard.
Yeah, and news just broke that the Eagles have placed Jay Ajayi on injured reserve.
Well, he has not been the same guy. I know he's had, you know, the back injury. I'm actually looking at the tape right now, and there were some opportunities where he could have gotten positive plays. He's missing the holes. He's bouncing things. And, you know, the quickness and lateral agility that's so important for running back just isn't there. It probably the right move at this time because this guy was a shadow of what I remember about Jay Ajayi.
Jaws, I got to ask you this, because we have to presume that something in a lot of areas would have to get better for the Eagles to find this kind of a stride that would get them to 10 to get into the playoffs. Where is it, or are they capable of getting better? Because it looks to me like, you know, there's nothing left in the bag they can pull out here. So where are we looking for the improvement that settles this team?
I think it's incumbent upon all the players to elevate their game. There are some guys that just aren't playing good football right now. And, you know, this offensive line, and when we started talking about it at the beginning of the season, you know, I had it as one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in football. They're not playing close to that. You know, there was a change was made from Wisniewski to Seumalo. I mean, the first series of the game, you'd think he'd come out there and be all fired up. He got knocked backwards on every play, you know. So I actually am a head scratcher on why that move was made. I did not think Wisniewski was playing poorly. In fact, you know, his comments were even say how shocked he was at that move. So I really don't know, you know why that happened, but this offensive line now is not playing up its capabilities. And you know, this has been where we would hang our hat here the last couple of years with Jason Peters and that veteran group up front not playing well. Really hurts this team.
Well, let's go into the general manager's office, because I've been saying today there have been some misjudgments in the general manager's office from this perspective. Guys get older, and you got to take that into consideration. Now, there was the running back situation where guys are banged up and they didn't draft anybody. There's the defensive line situation where you're bringing back a guy like Chris Long, and you're missing Jernigan, you bring Nada in there. These guys are older players. Jason Peters, the same thing. Did they make misjudgments in those areas by bringing all these guys back with the Super Bowl Bowl feely goody thing, and it hurt him in the end.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue on with that. There are some guys that you know that are there that are long in the tooth and that aren't playing as well as they've played in the past. But Howie Roseman, you know, last year certainly was the executive of the year, did a phenomenal job, and every time he pushed a button, it was the right button. Right now, he's going to have to start pushing some of those buttons again because some of the guys are not playing up to their ability. Before you know it, in the blink of an eye, this season, you know, you're out of the playoffs, and you, all of a sudden you can't recover. Now, fortunately, you know, we're looking at the NFC East, which is abysmal right now. So, and Mike, it might be 8-8, it might win the division. So, the way it looks right now, so you may be a playoff team, but you're not going to go very far unless this team starts to pick up its game.
Well, to get to 8, they have to sweep every division opponent.
Well, I'm just throwing out the record. I think.
I know what you mean, you're right. Maybe 9 does win it, but then you're in a tiebreak type of situation and all that nonsense. All right, let me ask you about the head coach because last year, by all counts, Doug Peterson established himself as a very good head coach. Now there are people that are saying, well, they really miss Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. Now, either he's a good coach or he's only a good coach because of Reich or DeFilippo. What side of the fence are you on here?
Well, certainly, I have great respect for Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, who have now left. But I haven't seen enough of Mike Groh and press yet, Taylor, to say that, okay, these guys aren't doing a good enough job or they're doing a bad job. It is still Doug's football team, and let's not forget that. So he still controls that room. And by the way, you and I spoke about this in the off season. You know, how important that quarterback room is. And Frank Reich was, you know, a former quarterback, and he had DeFilippo, a former quarterback, and they really had a good room. And I mean, you could talk to Carson, and you could talk to Nick, and you could talk to Nate, and those guys, hey, they all get along, and they still do. But sometimes the chemistry just changes just a little bit, and it takes time to develop that chemistry. And I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just saying from my past experiences, this sometimes, you know, it's not the same, and it could be a negative. I'm not saying it is, but I don't think the room is the same right now.
Okay, and maybe it gets better. I don't know. It just seems that like the good coaches should be able to carry on. These guys are with the team, and they were tutored by guys, and they should be able to move up to the next step. So I don't understand some of the decisions he made yesterday. And one was the challenge. The other was the third down and one toss. He burned 2 timeouts in the second half when they were way behind, and he did not try to kick this 57-yard field goal. So let me get your views on that first. They get the turnover, they squander a major opportunity by going backwards with penalties, and then they wind up punting the ball. Would you have tried to kick the 3 there?
Yeah, I think I, you know, when you got a guy like Elliott who's, you know, got the bomb leg, and you know, maybe he hasn't been as sharp this year, but this is a guy that we could still think back to maybe the turning point last season was a 61-yard field goal against the Giants that kind of really ignited the team as far as their run. And I don't know why. I don't think it was weather related. You know, you still have warm days, the ball's still moving. It's not a cold ball that you're going to lose 5 yards. So that was kind of surprising, but the challenge. I mean, I don't know who is in the press box now relaying information down to Doug on the sideline, but to challenge that was just you missed it. It's just a mistake. And there were 3 steps before he went out of bounds, and so now that costs you a timeout. And probably the most puzzling thing to me is, and this might be the most alarming thing to me, these alignment penalties.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse. You know, I can live with a penalty for a guy being aggressive and trying to make a play, but if you can't freaking get lined up right, Mike,
yeah,
you can't win football games. You know, I'm getting ticked off, and maybe I can hear coaches in my ear. If you can't get lined up, you're not getting on the field. How many alignment penalties did we have yesterday? Guys that, you know, covering up the tight end. You can't have those penalties in professional football.
You've been in the locker room many times, and now you got some guys carping. Ajayi was carping him at the running game. It's unfortunate you got torn ACL now that we just learned. And Wisniewski sounded off about getting replaced. And you know what that does with the team? That little fragment, like, starts pulling apart, and you know, the sweater pulls apart.
Yeah, you know, I love fiery guys, and I love Jalen Mills for the fire he has. And you know, if you're out there on that island, you know, you got to play with great confidence. You got to be cocky, even when you get beaten, maybe even beat repeatedly. You still got to have faith and confidence in yourself. So I like that part of Jalen Mills' game, that self confidence. And hey, you may beat me once, twice, but I'm going to get you eventually. But the chirping now that seems to be taking place from a little bit of everyone, I think it's something that you know, the Eagles need to get under control. You know, when you start having those little disagreements in the sideline, and you almost got to believe that some of that is carrying over off the field into the locker room, and when the guys are grabbing maybe a beverage after practice, some of that stuff, especially when you're losing. Now, here's the thing. Does losing lead to that, you know, that chirpiness, or does that chirpiness lead to losing? And that's going to be the fine line right now.
Yeah. Jaws, great stuff. Always a pleasure. We will talk to you.
All right, Mike.
There he is, Ron Jaworski, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters, built to be the best. Of course, the Ron Jaworski Show on Wednesday follows this program.